Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount, and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we'll be sending a gigantic thank you from the Tim Fowler Show with Steve Wheeler himself, Executive Director of Roundtables for Remodelers Advantage. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host, Greg Wally. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hey everybody, Tim Fowler here, and welcome to the Tim Fowler Show. As I always do, I tell you, send in your ideas. It really does help me to make sure that we've got a program that's put together that helps people. So if you have ideas, Tim@remodelersadvantage.com. So I have to tell you a little story as we're getting started here. We've been doing this podcast, I think the first time we recorded and perhaps even went on the air, April 2018. But the idea started in the later 2017, actually in November. And like a lot of businesses do, we had a meeting. We're sitting around a conference table talking about marketing. And the big challenge for us was and still is, how do we get the name Remodelers Advantage out to people who are not already in our database or already in our world? And so the idea of podcasts was thrown around, and the marketing people said, look, that'll help. I mean, if we can get some podcasts going, that'll help accomplish this goal. And so I believe it was our marketing director at the time looked over at me and said, hey, Tim, would you be willing to do a podcast? And I looked up and I said, sure. And then there was this pregnant pause, right? And then I went, what's a podcast? And so, and that, honest folks, I had no idea what a podcast was. And I share that with you not to illustrate my lack of social media knowledge or anything like that, which I think is known by everybody. But it's an opportunity for me to say thank you to the person that in that meeting offered to be my co-host and then proceeded to basically be the behind the scenes guy for what has been an incredibly successful run for both Steve Wheeler and myself. And so without me being involved, he sat down, he crafted the opening, he picked the music, and probably the most important thing was guided me through the first, I don't know, 8 to 10 episodes and gave me feedback, told me what was working, what wasn't working, and until I got really comfortable with the forum. And so he's the voice that gets us started off every time or has gotten us started off every time. And he's also that voice for those of you who have been a guest. I set up with the guests, like, what are the questions I'm going to ask? And I mix them up a little bit and stuff, but nobody knows what Steve's going to ask. And so he's that voice that pops in about halfway or two thirds of the way through the interview and throws that question at the guests that they weren't expecting, that now they have to think on their feet. So Greg, today, as we pay tribute to Steve by discussing his career in remodeling and perhaps helping people know where that he's been there, he's done that. And I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to Steve for being my co-host for about five and a half years here. So, Greg, let's get started.
Thank you, Tim. We are thrilled to have Steve Wheeler joining us today on this very special episode. Longtime co-host of this program, Steve Wheeler is the Executive Director for Roundtables for Remodelers Advantage. In this role, Steve oversees new membership, sales, and loves spending most of his time enhancing the Roundtables member experience. Prior to joining RA, and after graduating college with an architectural engineering degree, and spending 3 months on a framing crew, Steve started Wheeler Group Remodeling and spent 12 years in the remodeling business as an owner in Wilmington, Delaware. Welcome, Steve.
What's up, Tim? What's up, Greg?
Hey, this is very odd. This is really weird, man. You're the guest and not the co-host, but I think it'll really work for us. First of all, let me just say, I mean, I said it in the intro, but I want to say it now that we're, you know, really talking to each other. This has been a great experience for me. You made this show what it is in terms of the structure, the guests initially helping me to know like what's a podcast. So I truly appreciate the help you've given me with this over the years. So just a huge, I can't say it enough. Thank you for all of that.
Thank you, Tim. This has been fantastic. We will get into it in the talks today, but this has been the experience of a lifetime for me. Going back to 2017, when, you know, I started to listen to podcasts and was seeing it becoming more pervasive in the marketing space. And I said, man, we've got so much information to put out there. We really need to be there. Took a few months before anybody would listen to me, but I'm so glad they did. And that's really the genesis of all of this. And it has been fantastic. I've loved every episode, every minute. Been great.
Yeah, and I know we both have our favorites, but in many cases, those favorites are the same, and things that we've chatted about. And for the listeners that have been on board for so long, just understand that when Steve and I talk about these things at the end of a podcast, like, wow, I learned that. We're not faking it. This is stuff that we've really picked up from the podcast. And so I feel like we've given something to the world out there, but at the same time, I know I've learned a tremendous amount about the rest of the remodeling world, because all of us are a little bit isolated until we start talking to people from all over the country about what they're doing. So Steve, as we're getting into this, just go back a little bit. Let's talk about your career in remodeling. How did you get into remodeling? Why did you get out of college and then actually start a business?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll rewind all the way back. As a kid, you know, I was very mechanically inclined. So where in certain cases, maybe, you know, scholastic direction wasn't my thing, I could always put things together. Just putting things together made sense to me. Building things made sense. My dad was they call financial planner now, but a stockbroker. So I did not have experience in construction, but always enjoyed it. And just used to always kind of say as a kid, one day I'm going to own a construction company, tongue in cheek. But that was really the start to get my head around it. But then was working in the world of wanted to own a nursery, a plant nursery, if you can imagine that. Started college as a ornamental horticulture major, and went through my first series of plant science classes. And when I woke up, I decided that that wasn't for me. Kind of went back to the drawing board, found architectural engineering and did that. And so then I, when I graduated, I was really looking for work. That's back in 2003, 2004. So that's lots of the track building mega boom, and looked to be a project manager on some of those track built companies. And in the meantime, took a job with a local general contractor. And the first job was framing an addition.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So so you did that for a few months, and then you said, like me, maybe you said, oh, I can do this. Is that kind of the
exactly,
way
exactly what happened, without knowing a darn thing about, you know, building or running a business. You know, at the same time, my older brother, who he had left a job as the director of the VP of sales for the 76ers, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, wow.
And so he came to work with me on that job site. And just to, you know, to get some something to do and some work in the meantime. And we both kind of fell in love with it. And so it both became, we can do this. and started off on that journey together, starting the Wheeler Group.
Okay.
And then learning, you know, not really knowing how to structure, frame, start a business. We did it and realized 50-50 partnerships are a challenge. Family-run businesses are a challenge. And when you mix both of them, they are extra challenging. And a year in, decided that not having awkward holidays and Christmases is what we wanted to do. So we split, and he worked in the construction for many years, as did I. We almost worked together in a way and with separate entities. And then he followed my dad's footsteps into the world of finance and now owns that business of Wheeler Financial here in Wilmington, Delaware. And I kept on with Wheeler Group Remodeling. And it was, you know, for a little while, it was the Wheeler Group of one, but started to hire people. And yeah, that was that.
So what did you like about it? What was it that you really enjoyed about the remodeling side of things?
You know, I think when I first started with that crew, there was, you know, I loved the high level of sophistication in what we were doing and laying out the project. And you know, I had always had experience in either construction or landscaping of just a pick, you know, a digging bar and a shovel in construction was just the hard labor side.
Right.
But when I started to see just actually building things and just the complexity of a hip roof and, you know, rafters and all this stuff, I loved it, mixed with, you know, working outside, mixed with physical exertion and just, you know, the collective group, almost like a team doing that. I fell in love with the process and then the relationship with the client and them coming out and seeing the daily progress. So I still drive past that job from time to time and look, and you know, it attracted me and I was hooked. I mean, from then on in, that was it.
Yeah. So let this be a warning to everybody. You're bringing people into the business, and if they're handling a shovel or a pick or a digging bar for too long, you're going to lose them, because the excitement is in the building of that structure. The excitement is in seeing that kind of thing together. Somebody asked me a little while ago, like, what do you really enjoy? And it was just a question about life, right? And I said, you know, when it gets right down to it, I enjoy producing. And it doesn't matter if I'm going fishing, I want to catch fish that I can bring home and eat. You know, if I'm building the project, I want to see some progress for the day. And I think that's what got me excited about it when I first got, I could see I was doing something with it.
Oh, and that's really, you know, what, you know, when we left that project, we had built this wonderful thing that people were moving into. And during the whole career, you know, when you left the job, you knew you had produced something, right? And you had this beautiful product that you had built. And, you know, that was a gigantic transition for me, you know, from owning the business to coming to Remodeler's Advantage, bringing new members into the Roundtables program. You know, I hadn't yet met many of the members, which to me became the finished product of sorts. Right. You know, that culmination of what I was doing. But that first 3 months, I'm like, you know, would sell somebody and over the phone and leave. And there was this, I was definitely had a void of a finished product
right
in the work. It was evident. I said, man, this is going to be a challenge, you know, right. But, you know, as we have summits, as we have meetings, it's where I get to see, you know, some of that benefit and payoff, per se. Watching people grow has been a huge, huge benefit and rewarding.
Yeah, so this
career
this
of having, another, helping people.
I think this is another common thing that we have. When I got out of being a lead carpenter and became a production manager, I joke about this a little bit. And it's like, I have nothing to show for a day's work.
Yes.
So it's like I moved back then. It was paper. I moved paper from one box to another box, signed a few things. But what did I actually accomplish? And it's a very hard, it's a hard transition for people to make very often as a craftsman to get into a more management type of a role to actually see the product. What did they produce as a result of today? But I'm thinking, Steve, that some of your skills from the remodeling world translated over to the Remodeler's Advantage world, primarily in the sales side of things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you own a small business, every single thing you're doing is, as some people say, you're killing it, dragging it home and cooking it. It's everything you do is you sell and then produce. So sales was a big part of it. That is the kind of connection I have with family members is a history of sales. So I definitely had a lot of experience in selling, I think, not to the same level as what right. we do here, but there was definite experience in sales that carried over, but that was about it until I came to the office one day and somebody had something had knocked a hole in the wall and it had to patch drywall. I was like, oh, this is great. I get some of my old skills. You guys can see what I'm really good at here.
I remember you and I putting up a shelf at the office together one yes. time because we had tools and nobody else did. So that was a lot of fun. So give us a little bit more about how you moved into that management phase at Remodeler's Advantage. What is it you do with Remodeler's Advantage at this point? And how do you, I guess now, how do you find your jollies, so to speak?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was director of business development for many years, after making that decision of closing the business, everything was growing well, but you know, I was born and raised in the area I currently live in. And it was one of those kind of life moments of, you know, I'm really going to turn it up here and take this next step into business growth. I was having these thoughts of, you know, I'm going to be an older person and having never left this area. And it was really something I was struggling with. Although I loved doing what I was doing, I decided, and, you know, previous podcast we had with Greg, he mentioned you wouldn't leave anything. He wouldn't have left his previous job if this hadn't shown up. Right, and he's the right. only, and then I felt the same way. I was a member of the Remodelers University and I saw this come in front of me as a salesperson. And I live an hour and a half from the office, which totally made no sense. At the time, my wife was 7 months pregnant with our daughter. So yeah. None of it made sense, which was so exciting. I don't know if I could do it again, but it was exciting at the time. So closed the business, got to work, brought in new members into the Roundtables program and did that for 3 or 4 years. Pandemic changed a lot of things in terms of how we deliver our product. And in that time, really got hands-on with our members. I mean, everybody was hands-on during that time when COVID hit in 2020. So I think just the overall looking at the program as a whole, we got very interested in and saw there was some talents there with working with members. And so that's where the transition happened. And now I really look at the overall product of Roundtables and the goal is to continue to enhance, improve overall member experience and just make sure that our members are, you know, living by the or you know, working by the values and using best practices and earning more, working less, as we say.
Yep.
But that people are progressing. That's the most important part. And so I love it.
Back to that point where you said you'd be my co-host. And I mean, maybe even back a little bit further, you mentioned quickly a little earlier, people finally started listening to you. I don't remember exactly, you know, who was promoting the podcast, but I'm guessing now it was probably you. And then How did you think about this? Because I give you like all the credit for getting the right sequence, the right function, the right formula for this show. It has worked so well for five and a half or 6 years. And so how did you, what was your thought process for crafting that?
So, you know, I'd love to say it was all original thoughts, but obviously Google helps quite a bit
right.
with just looking for templates and frameworks for podcasts. I'm a huge listener of podcasts, audiobooks, and things like that. So I was familiar with certain things I liked about podcasts and certain things I hated. the podcasts that just kind of start and go on for an hour and a half with no direction, I've found myself lost. I just wanted something that was conversational, but educational. Yeah. And I think, you know, that fits right into your wheelhouse. And
yep.
I think it just, you know, somehow they meshed perfectly because, you know, one of the joys of doing this podcast is I love watching how excited you get, you know, when we learn and, you know, whatever I've done in terms of, you know, some production side in the beginning, you know, 90% of the topics were you and well, they're submitted by the people, but that was really you generating a lot of that. So it was really a great pairing to start off and do this. And it's, you know, from the start, you know, I remember picking out the music, like Mark Harari.
I was going to ask you about that. How did you get that music? Cause it's perfect.
So Mark Harari, he helped on kind of the computer side or the technical side of getting the podcast together. And he's like, you know, we got to get a song together. So here's where you go to find music. And I guess, you know, people make music professionally. They put it out there and you buy the rights to it. And so I went through, I mean, I spent hours listening to different riffs. And I mean, it took 5 seconds of getting into that wonderful banjo. I love that. I could probably listen to it without the podcast. I'll just listen to that song. Yeah. But it started off, I said, done. That just shouted Tim Fowler to me. But it has a nice beat. I like some hip-hop music. So I said, that's Tim and Steve right there. Perfect music. So that's how it happened.
So I don't know if you even knew this about me, but I am a big bluegrass music fan. I love bluegrass music, and I don't think you even knew that at the time, but it fits right into my world. The first time I heard it, I went, oh, that is fantastic. So good job on that. Good job on that.
I love it.
So maybe favorite podcasts or maybe something that stands out to you that from, you know, again, I think it's been 5.5 years or so that they've actually been published. 200 something episodes are out there. Just kind of wondering if anything stands out to you that just really, you know, got you excited.
Well, I look back at all of the episodes and all the titles and topics, and it just screams the amount of genius and like intellect that we're surrounded by with Remodelers Advantage in this community. I'm just so impressed by every guest we have with the information that they're able to bring to us, you know, and they're just people who work in production and have something that they want to share. And that's been amazing to me that, you know, you joked about how I jump in with a question, but I haven't stumped anybody. Everybody knows the answers. You know, I ask the question because I like to have more of a conversational riff, you know, not kind of a pre-programmed answer. But, you know, I paused some people, but I don't know that I've ever stumped them. I always have pretty good, fantastic answer. But I made a list of some of the shows that really stood out. You know, being a This Hold a House enthusiast, over the years, the podcast with Kevin O'Connor was a Fantastic one. Our fourth episode, Running Effective Production Meetings with Terry McDermott, was one where I was really like, it just jumped out. I said, this is going to be so much fun. Because after that episode, I learned so much from that episode. I said, man, this is going to be a blast. Mitch Gray, hiring and keeping great people, is probably about a year and a half ago. Yep. And then active listening with Christine Miles.
Yep.
And then becoming a PM without a construction background. That's from the very beginning with Brad Yetman. That was fantastic. And that was another one which just got me really excited about doing this show.
Yeah, and we probably did five or six of those.
I think, yes.
Yeah, we've done quite a number of those over the years that people that did not have construction backgrounds. So,
and ones that I've brought, thing, you know, Greg mentioned inclusion in construction. And I, you know, had a friend come on the podcast from high school to talk about that. It was really important to me. Women in construction. There's been such a wide range of topics that we've hit that I think just shine a different light than other shows do. And I think we've tackled a lot of different topics, not just sticking to one channel. You know, we've been diversified in what we talk about, and I love it. I love that we're able to tackle different topics and do it in this framework.
Oh, Steve, longtime listener here.
Yes.
What I've always enjoyed about you on the podcast is this joy in your voice about thinking about what it was like when you were in business. You always have this comment like, well, when I was in business, or is there any light bulb moment that came up through the 200 plus episodes that really got you looking back on your ownership time?
So that is fantastic question, because I often joke that from the first day I started in Roundtables, it's been almost like a lifetime purgatory of light bulb moments and hindsight being 2020 of what I should have done. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, when I first came and people talked to me about charging for estimates and how they did it, and I started to do some calculations and realized, you know, there was probably a college degree worth of free estimates given out. And, you know, it's just, so there's been I think a lot of the scheduling things as you're a proponent of and an expert in. And that was a huge one, something that I think a lot of people struggle with, what I did, because I was, I think, 2015 when I closed the business. So, you know, different technologies were around, but I don't think they were nearly as adopted as they are now. So a lot of it was Gantt charts and Excel and things like that. But scheduling's a big one. Trying to think if there's I think it's just a huge collection of hindsight's 2020 on things that could have done better. But it's been so fantastic to see the innovation that's exists in this community.
So, Steve, I know I've learned so much from the podcast, but also just from consulting with companies. And then in 2010-ish, I had to open up my own little company again. And you know what? Just having the knowledge in your brain doesn't necessarily change your actions, because I found myself fighting with myself to charge properly, to do change orders. And the knowledge up here in my head was all there. I know what has to be done, but my heart, if you will, or the way I feel about business and the feel about people was still kind of trying to push me into that place where I was before I learned all that stuff. So it's better not to regress. I'll put it that way.
No, that's for sure. Onward and upward.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, really, you know, it can be packaged in many different ways, but in a lot of cases, if you talk about, let's just say, eating, exercise, work practices, the info, we have the info.
Right.
Right. And execution is 99% of all of it. We have a lot of people know what to do, but it's the ability to have a tough conversation. It's the ability to hold somebody accountable.
Yep.
It's those in between pieces that are the hard part of this business.
Yeah.
You know, charging what you should.
And I think one of the great things about the podcast is that we brought people on who are doing it. Maybe not doing everything, but they're doing the stuff that we, you know, have them on to talk about.
Yes.
It's not just my theory or your theory. It was real people doing real things and conquering some of these demons that are out there in the remodeling world. So
yeah, that's another one. To go back to Greg's question, is when we had the episode on how to fire a client, that one was like, oh
yes, man. I remember that very clearly.
That one or two times.
All right, Steve, we're going to wrap this up. Any regrets moving on?
No regrets. No, I just want to say, Tim, I'll hold this up. The listeners can't see, but this is my 2014 remodeling magazine cover with Tim on it. And when I first met you, it was at Master Your Remodeling Business Workshop. It was my second or third week.
Oh, wow.
Of being at Remodeler's Advantage. I stepped into an elevator and just you and me. And I felt like I was stepping into my version of stepping in with the Beatles, because I have been reading your stuff, watching your stuff for many, many years as a guy in the business. And I have to tell you, this has been an unbelievable joy to share the airspace with you this entire time. It's an honor, and I thank you.
Hey, this is greatly. Supposed to be me thanking you, dude.
No, this is me thanking you, and I'm so excited for Greg to step into this role. He's going to be fantastic and take the torch in every way, and keep getting better.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, take care,
Steve. I want to thank you once again for joining us today on the Tim Fowler Show. I love the fact that I get to work with you at RA. It's a really big deal to me. We continue to look forward to great things from you for many years to come.
Right.
So, Tim, is there anything that you learned about Steve today that you didn't already know besides ornamental horticulture?
Yeah, I didn't know, you know, all the flowers that I have in my greenhouse here, he's never said the thing like, ooh, that's a Brazilian orchid from, you know, I've never had that conversation with him about flowers, but I'll have to know now that, you know, that's part of his wheelhouse. I mean, it was fun just to hear a little bit more about the history. I knew some things about his construction experience and so forth like that. But like you said, it was always a joy to have Steve on. Just from like the very first minute he started talking, it was excitement in his voice. And I did appreciate, I mean, I joke about it a little bit, but I did appreciate the questions, you know, that he threw in and challenged a little bit some of the things that were being talked about. And I think that was a great benefit. But I think it's very, very hard to overstate the impact that Steve has had on me and my life, and me being known throughout the United States. I already had a name in many places, but the podcast definitely has gotten me a name in lots of other places. And he, you know, it's like he's the, you know, Johnny Carson's sidekick, right? Ed McMahon, right? He's the guy that really makes it happen. And yeah, I get the front, but he's the guy that holds up that back end and makes it happen. So it's really hard to express how much I appreciate what Steve's done for me, for the industry, for Remodeler's Advantage with this forum.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is Steve in a nutshell. He's that person, not just on the podcast. He's just a super guy to know. So once again, we'd like to thank Steve Wheeler, our friend, for joining us today, and to thank you for listening to another episode of the Tim Fowler Show.
And, you know, I usually say, you know, trying to eliminate the is what it is. Steve's a guy that won't say it is what it is. And doing that, he's helped put together an amazing podcast that's going to keep on going for a long, long time. So once again, thank you, Steve.
This has been another episode of the Tim Fowler Show. Would you like to hire Tim or myself to help fast track your growth? please send me an email, greg@remodelersadvantage.com, for more information about our production manager and design manager roundtables, to get more information about consulting for your team, or if you have ideas for the podcast. Please subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.